Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. Very kind of you to tune in on the, I guess it must be the 10th today of June 2025, and it's probably about 7:45, something like that. I've just turned the internet on. The modem. Oh, it's actually 8:00, later than I imagined. It's 8:05. Gosh, we've got a busy day today. We've got some legal letters to get out. We've got a farm shop to visit. I've got a book to write or finish writing. And, you know, emails and everything else. Luckily, no interviews, fortunately. And I don't think Julia's coming over tonight, so I will be able to catch up with a little bit of writing. I am looking at something rather awesome that arrived yesterday. It's reminiscent, the box and the polystyrene are wrapped around it as a small coffin, which was a bit of a worry when it arrived. But I will not reveal in The Naked Englishman what it is, for there is two videos it will feature in now. The one will be my main video on my main channel, which will indicate it, and then my pipe smoking video will go into more depth. And that might be enough of a hint now as to what it could possibly be. But anyway, I will leave you guessing on that front. It was a complete surprise and not ordered by myself, is sufficient to say. I have been enjoying yesterday a bit more of R.F. Delderfield. Have read some, I think we read some to Julia. We're reading two different books. I love his writing, and I get myself into a bit of a tizzy when I read his stuff. When you write your own and you go, why can't I write with such eloquence, with such command of the English language, which with such sensibilities and gentleness, with such amazing descriptive powers? And of course, it's a very stupid thing to do that, because you're not that person, you haven't had that person's background, you haven't spent as many hours as he has writing and learning his trade, which was what he did for all his life, pretty much. Plays, some film scripts and novels and television scripts. And it's you know, his life was hardly charmed, but he knew what he wanted to do very early on and was able to do it. And I, you know, when you compare your own life to somebody like that, you realise that you are miles apart in the things that one does. But I don't suppose he at the time felt, I don't know, unless he had a great sense of ego, he may not have felt that he was achieving what he wanted to achieve, because it took a long time for him to find success, having written loads. And now, of course, later on, it all comes out. He died when he was 60. And I am 62 this year, in a few months' time, which is quite extraordinary. And so I, you know, even when I look at my life, I feel, and now in my 60s, that I have only really finished an apprenticeship. Unlike people of in the past that seem to mature and develop their skills so much earlier and become very, very good at what they do. It, for me, I feel that I'm still on that bloody path of apprenticeship, that you've picked up a number of skills along the way, but none of them make me very, very good. They just make me adequate. And that sense of just being good enough, but not as best as you could. That's not to say, but don't take that the wrong way, it isn't a depressive statement. It's not to say that you can't, because there's the future to look forward to. And the journey is the important thing. And developing those skills through practice and honing them. And sometimes I think that you do have to go through a number of different disciplines, whether that be in my life, an entertainer, somebody who's made corporate videos, somebody who's done some children's books, someone who's gone down the rabbit hole, and someone who's run a YouTube channel, and somebody who for 20 years has just made something up on the spur of the moment without planning what he was going to say in a podcast called The Naked Englishman. And all these are sort of skills that you pick up. You may not be very good at them, and some days The Naked Englishman is incredibly weak, but because you're doing something daily, you cannot excel all the time at everything that you do. However, if you were recording perhaps say one amazing episode of The Naked Englishman, you might spend a week honing it, and there it is. However, why would you bother to do that when there are things that are disposable and people really don't come back a second time and listen to, such as The Naked Englishman YouTube videos and that, which unless there is something, a really important message that needs to be unpacked, it is just very disposable, so why spend the time? And I learnt that when I did the Bald Explorer right at the beginning. I would spend 3 months to create one 40-minute video that you could go back and watch, but it still wasn't, it had no budget or special effects, really. I mean, they were competent, but there was nothing groundbreaking about it. I was trying to just match what was on the television, and actually I did relatively well with no budget and on myself doing everything. On my own doing everything. But I realised that the format is a disposable format, and once people had seen it, that was it. And they might potentially come back a second time if it was relatively good. And so I learnt that because I didn't have a budget, and that the subjects that I was able to put together and film could not be put together any more impressive than I did by, I suppose, merely turning up and filming what was available and giving some history on it and with a few graphics. What I didn't have was privy access to extraordinary stuff that would make people sit up. And so, therefore, the videos were okay, you know, good for an independent filmmaker with no budget. And so from that point of view, they were a great watch on YouTube, absolutely. But YouTube is a disposable type of thing. Whereas a book, the journey, so the book may well be disposable. Once you've read a story, you may not go back. But because the journey takes much longer to travel, i.e. if you're writing fiction, a novel, and you are you as the reader are invested in the characters and you're itching to know what goes on, that journey can take, depending on the length of the novel of course, several weeks, even months, depending on how much time you put to reading the thing. And so the investment is far greater, even though it may be at the end, once you've reached the story, you'd never go back to it. But there'll be something about that which I think, if it's a good book, creates a fond memory. And the memory goes back. I've got books that I've read that I haven't reread, but I remember elements of them. And that's where honing the novel is important. And that's where it can take a long, long time. Plus, I mean, it's a physical object that you can sell and try and earn some money back, even if it's not really earning what perhaps your time could be worth for somebody else to pay you a job. And so as an object that can be enjoyed and passed to other people, there's more merit in it, because it's a solid object. as opposed to an ebook, which again is a bit disposable, but a solid object in the on your shelf as a book that you possess, you have a connection then with the writer, even if it's only that you open it and just read bits of it. If the book is signed or you know the writer, you have a deeper connection and an investment with that writer. And it's a fascinating thing that perhaps most people don't think about. And if you have a writer that you really enjoy reading and they are current, you might even write to them and say, I really enjoy your books. You know, there's a sort of thank you so much for doing what you're doing. I've got so much pleasure out of sitting and reading your books. So going back to R.F. Delderfield, who's now deceased, it would have been now, if he were still alive, I would certainly have reached out to him and said, do you know, I really have enjoyed your work. It's astonishing how good they are, how they live and breathe, and I'm amazed. Thank you so much. They may get these sort of emails or letters all the time, but it's a kind of a two-way thing. And you get that. I mean, I do get that to a degree with the videos that I put together. People get in touch and say, thank you, Richard, you know, you really touched me, or it's been very important, or you opened my eyes, or it's kept me positive, and things like that, which is lovely. Those sort of emails are wonderful, you know, and I'm not asking for people to do that, of course. You know, they have to come unexpectedly from people who are just touched to do it. And if they send money, of course, it's even greater. Not that I want them to be out of pocket, but if they, you know, just to help the channel, because the channel is, it's not so much the channel, it's just, unless I've got some income going, I can't keep going. And so that's nice. The emails that people reach out, and then they either want to pick your brains, on one level that's okay, but some people are very demanding and say, I want to know how to do this, tell me how to do it. And there's a sort of crossover where now they're making demands of you as opposed to requests. Requests can be accepted or turned down. A demand, well, it makes my hackles go up and go, well, why should, you know, I don't know who you are. I have no relationship with you other than you have watched my video, which you're entitled to do. And now you've written to me demanding something that was not offered. But people are very quick to forget, I think, that kind of relationship with you. The more familiar you are, it is that same thing, isn't it? Familiarity breeds contempt, that they start to become, they treat you in a way that you are one of the family and so well known to them that they can, and they do, at events, just come up to you as if you are their mate and say, oh, hello, Richard, just shake your hand. In the meantime, you were talking to somebody else. So that contempt and the normal etiquette of meeting people sort of disappears. And that's, I think, comes from becoming too familiar. Anyway, Julia's just arrived down. We've both had baths, bathed, and washed our bodies and got dressed. And we've got, as I say, this farm shop to visit and then some other bits and pieces to get on with. So I suppose, how are we doing on the time? 14 minutes. Well, there we are. It's a relatively short one today, but you don't always need them long, do you? Sometimes they're too long to listen to. So thank you for listening. I will catch up with you tomorrow. Just to say that it is down here on the south coast, grey, overcast and dull. That is the weather forecast, and it doesn't look like it's going to improve. But you never know. It might burn away, but there isn't that fine indication at whatever time it is now, towards 8:30, probably, that it is going to disappear. But who knows? We might get a bit of wind to blow it away, and that would be nice. Thank you for listening. Until if you did, until next time, bye-bye.